As we just heard, what goes on in your gut can have a huge impact on your overall health. I'm Jill Nadeau. Glad you could spend some of your time with us on the Ideas Network today. Our next guest is going to tell us about how food can heal your gut and fight inflammation. Mie McCormick is with us. She is a culinary and wellness innovator, a restaurateur, author, TV cooking personality, farmer, rancher, wife, and mother. We're going to talk to her about her new cookbook, My Pinewood Kitchen, A Southern Culinary Cure, and find out how food has helped her with her health problems. Do you have questions about what foods can make you feel better? Have you changed your diet because of food sensitivities or allergies? Well, we'd like you to be part of our conversation. So give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to WPR.org. Hi, Mie.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing really well. We're so happy you could be with us today. I got your book right in front of me, your latest cookbook. Really enjoyed it. But before we start talking specifically, why don't you talk about some of the struggles that you've had with your health in your life?
Yes. Starting around the age of 25, I had digestive distress. Is what I like to call it.
Okay.
That meant every time I ate, I didn't feel well, I was bloated, I had pain, and that pain turned into a burning pain. And it would pass a little bit later, but I really formed an intimate relationship with my digestive distress.
Oh.
Meaning it became a normal part of my day.
That is unfortunate, and I think a lot of people are with you on that one. Now, how did you come to relate what you ate with how you felt?
Well, I mean, believe it or not, it took me a really long time. Most people that do have digestive distress, some form of it, different symptoms, it's something about us, but we just can't connect what we put in our mouth with the effect it has on our bodies. There's a huge disconnect. So it took a really long time, and eventually what I was able to eat became less and less. The pain became more and more severe, and I weighed about 89 pounds, and I couldn't eat anything or drink water without awful pain.
Ugh.
And so that's when I started the big journey to finally discovering it. But to be quite honest, it was about 10 years of suffering before I said, okay, this is enough, which is crazy common.
Yeah, it really is. Although I think as of late with people like you who have gone through this and have discovered what can help, we hear more and more about it. So people maybe are not suffering as much as they used to. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, when I really embarked on this journey, it was about 12 years ago. And there were no books. There were no chefs like me. Nutritionists weren't talking about it. Dietitians were talking about it. And doctors weren't talking about it. And so we're really fortunate right now that all of us that are heading up this movement of digestive health and wellness and the connection to overall wellness are here and doing what we're doing. So people are hearing people like me right now going, oh, wait, you mean it's not normal that I'm bloated every time I eat?
Yeah.
It's now, not, by the way, if you're listening.
Yeah, it is not normal. You should not be in pain. Now, all of this struggle that you had, this all led to you learning about macrobiotics. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah, I mean, the first place that I, first of, again, back to 12 years ago, there were no books on even eating for wellness. You know, there was the health food movement that started in the 60s and 70s, actually earlier than that. But those movements were seen as sort of, health food is always viewed as punishment.
Yeah.
And considered nasty.
Right.
They say in the South, that's nasty.
You can tell me is from the South, so yeah.
Down from the South, it's nasty. So who wants that? So it's punishment, right? And then what happened is I just happened to connect to a woman named Virginia Harper, who is in Nashville and was heading up the Shaw Wellness Center in Spain's digestive food department. And this was 12 years ago. And she happened to be in Nashville part-time. And I connected to her, and she is a macrobiotic digestive wellness food coach or counselor, they're called. And basically what macrobiotics is cooking, you know, macro is big, means big. Look at food from a big point of view. And so she really taught me how to cook whole grains, soak them overnight, remove the phytic acid, the things that are hard to digest, add kombu. So I learned to kombu, which is a sea vegetable. I learned to cook with sea vegetables. Sea vegetables have more trace minerals than any other vegetable on the planet. And then how to cook, you know, whole grains. So that meant quinoa, millet, things I hadn't even heard of 12 years ago.
Right.
Teff, amaranth, what else? Short grain brown rice, all the sea vegetables, tzatziki, kombu, arame, wakame, dulse. And so then from there, she introduced me to my first probiotic food. Now, this is, again, 12 years ago, and no one was using the word probiotic. Doctors were not prescribing it for digestive distress. And we weren't even beginning to understand the study of the microbiome, because microbiome studies didn't come out and start happening in scientific journals until 2002. And then there were very few. And again, they were only in the scientific community. So she taught me about fermented foods, miso particularly, and a light bulb went off inside of me. First of all, it was the worst cook you've ever met. I did not like the kitchen. I grew up very poor in the Appalachian Mountains. My mother had Crohn's disease. Food was something that was a battle from the time I arrived in this body. Either my mother was too sick to eat it or well enough to work, and we barely had money to buy it. So once I changed my life as a teenager and went to college and did all the things she didn't do, and I had married someone whose family started the first chain of grocery stores called Winn-Dixie, I had access to all the gorgeous food in the entire world and lived on a working cattle ranch and farm, and I couldn't eat anything.
Mm.
So, macrobiotics was just, it taught me, so I didn't like the kitchen because I didn't understand it, and I had really a little bit of PTSD with food.
Oh, that's understandable.
And the trauma of childhood.
Sure.
So macrobiotics was just a place to teach me, was a beautiful foundation to have, because it really introduced me to the concept of healing with food. So many people I had met through her had difficult bouts of cancer and different digestive diseases and autoimmune diseases, and they seemed to do well. So I followed her into the kitchen, and within a few weeks, I mean, I've never really been a joiner. I'm kind of an independent spirit.
Yeah, so, I understand.
I also believe that there's not one way to food wellness. I have always known this.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone had a different path and a different needs. I didn't know when I started that it was the microbiome at that time, but I knew that everyone couldn't just be vegan, and it wouldn't work for everyone, and paleo doesn't work for everyone, and keto doesn't work for everyone, and you know, and macrobiotics doesn't work for everyone. So then I really was inspired to reach out into the world and to discover foods and what they do. And Dr. Joan Borncinko, who's a Harvard, she has 3 PhDs from Harvard Medical School in cancer cellular biology. And she's like my mama, because my mother did die when I was a teenager.
Mm.
And she, when I got super sick, she said, enough of this. And she knew I had started with macrobiotics. She said, Mee, you have to be more expansive. You cannot become fundamental with your food, which is something that I really understand now as I understand the microbiome. And so I moved from there into her sending me every study she could on foods and different foods. And so this was in 2008. And I was just inhaling information. And I had learned basic cooking techniques from Virginia Harper. And then from there, I was just a mad scientist. And I went to culinary school for French and American classic because I had a strong desire to understand, now that I understood health food.
Right.
I wanted to understand the foods I crave.
Right.
And that my people, as I say here in the South, love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've got a caller, a listener calling in, Kristen Adams, and she's got just a comment on her anti-inflammatory story. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jill. How are you doing?
I'm well. I kind of had a feeling you'd be calling in today.
You knew me. I have to. It's an addiction. I have two anti-inflammatory diseases, and this has been a lifelong project because there was no information available when I got sick. A long time telling. But I'm on an anti-inflammatory diet. And what people need to understand is this is a protocol. There is no singular diet that is going to solve everything for everybody. And what you need to do is cleanse yourself out and go to a naturopath and find out exactly what your sensitivities are for food, because everybody's body is different and different people have different things. And you can't recommend any one diet for anybody, but there are four foods that everybody should be eating, and they are fresh pineapple, turmeric, sweet potatoes, and fresh ginger, because those are the anti-inflammatory foods. And then everything else is either neutral or it has food sensitivities associated with it. And you can't recommend anything for anybody because different people have different things going on with their bodies.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chris. So, what do you think about that, the four foods that Chris talked about?
You know, I love what Chris just said, and she's right. She's exactly what I had said previously, that there's not one way.
Right.
What's really exciting right now is there are fantastic tests such as Viome, V-I-O-M-E, and these tests are now microbiome tests that check it comes, by the way, in a very Kardashian-esque box.
Ooh, nice.
You send your stool sample back. It's the best poop box I've ever seen. Anyway, you're going to do a nice little pretty poop collection and send it to your Viome Labs. And Viome Labs, and there are other companies, they will then break your sample down and figure out which bacteria's. So here's the thing that we have to explain. The microbiome. The microbiome is located in the small intestine and the large intestine. And the microbiome is the balance of bacteria. You can't even say what's good and what's bad because it's individual. So it means what is your excess and what do you not have enough of? The bacteria located in our intestines, the purpose is to break down our foods. So some people can say, I can't eat beans. The beans are bad for me. I have a sensitivity to them. But the issue is you don't have the bacteria to break down those beans. Bacteria is how our food is digested. These bacteria, I call them the good gut homies. Those are the people in our intestines, the beings, the bacteria that then create short-chain fatty acids. These short-chain fatty acids are how our inflammation is controlled. And so the gut homies, when the gut homies are fed, the positive ones in your individual microbiome, then your body is creating the right short-chain fatty acids to conquer inflammation. So for one person, they may be able to eat sweet potatoes. But if you have an excess of the bacteria that breaks down the sweet potatoes in imbalance, then you can't have sweet potatoes. And so now that science, which is, you know, I am like, in my next life, I want to be a scientist. In the next life, I'm going back as a scientist. So what I love about this is you send in your stool sample, and then you get a breakdown from these companies, these labs, of your bacteria, the foods to eat, which are your superfoods to increase the super needed good gut homies, the foods to avoid because you have too much of that bacteria, and the foods to add in moderation. So all foods and all life is about balance. And so the microbiome tests then give you this breakdown of foods, and for 90 days, the positive thing is you can change your food sensitivities by changing the bacteria in the microbiome, and you can create all kinds of great recipes from it. What gets me so excited about this is it's individual. And again, being that independent spirit, I love it. And when you just go and take a food sensitivity test, you're not finding out exactly how do I change that sensitivity, because by avoiding it, then you're going to create eventually an imbalance.
Okay. Well, that's a lot, too. Sorry, this is a pun digest, but we do have to take a break for news, but we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it. We've been talking about the right foods that and how they can make a big difference in your health with Mee McCormick. She is the author of a great new cookbook. It's called My Pinewood Kitchen, A Southern Culinary Cure. What questions do you have about eating right? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We'll be back right after this look at the news.
Support also comes from Madison Veterinary Specialists, locally owned and still here 24/7 for everyone and their pets during this difficult time. Details on emergency and specialty veterinary services at mvsvets.com.
We're talking about eating the right food to improve your health. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Our guest is Mee McCormick. She's the author of a new cookbook, My Pinewood Kitchen, A Southern Culinary Cure. In it, she has lots of recipes that can be adapted for food sensitivities and allergies, and they'll also help your gut health. What questions do you have? What food has helped you improve your food, your health? Are you having digestive problems? Well, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Now, Mee, we were talking a little bit about actually testing to find out what kind of bacteria you have in your gut, and you had mentioned a test that you recommend. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, it's called Viome, V-I-O-M-E. And you just go online to viome.com, and there's a great process. And then they send all of your results back in an email and also via an app. And I've done it. I had a large ulceration, the total circumference of my small intestine, and I healed it with food. And, you know, really it's changing the bacteria. And the only thing that the only thing that can change bacteria is by feeding it plants. Predominantly plants. There are animal foods that do support the microbiome 100%, but it's really about rotating it and changing what you feed your gut.
Okay. And we're going to get to your cookbook and some of your recipes in just a little bit, but could you explain quickly about pre and probiotics, what they are, what they do?
Okay, so a probiotic is what I call the good gut homie. So mm-hmm. that's a positive bacteria that creates a short-chain fatty acid that reduces inflammation and prevents inflammation in the entire body. That's how you prevent inflammation, is these short-chain fatty acids. And these probiotics eat prebiotic food. So a prebiotic food then is fuel for the probiotic, and prebiotic foods are predominantly plants: arugula, cranberries, cucumbers, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower. Now, some people can't have all of those things because of the imbalance of bacteria in the intestines, and that's what creates food sensitivities.
Oh, that's a great explanation. I really like that one. Thank you.
If you don't have that bacteria, then you can't digest it, or you don't have enough of that bacteria, then that food, either it's undigestible, it causes gas and bloating, constipation, or too much movement, too much going number two.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your cookbook a little bit. Now, it's named after the restaurant that you have, the Pinewood Kitchen. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, the Pinewood Kitchen, I own Pinewood Farms. I'm 45 minutes west in Nashville, Tennessee. And the Pinewood Kitchen is an old 1920s general store that's located on my farm. It's I am the reluctant restaurateur because, I don't know who says I want a restaurant.
Yeah, you got to wonder, right? It's a lot of work.
It's amazing and it's crazy, but it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. So I was very sick. I got well. My husband bought the restaurant. I was kind of crabby about it. Okay, I was crabby for a long time. And I grow all the food for my restaurant. So it's my grass-fed finished beef, pasture wood-raised pork, eggs from my super free-ranging chickens, and biodynamic produce, and I also grow mushrooms. And so all that food comes into my restaurant. And when I opened, I thought, oh, I'm going to do this for my customers. And by the way, I am the entire town. I'm the mercantile, the farm, and the restaurant.
That's
and
it.
And I was the gas station.
Okay.
So the food is Southern food, and it's just done the way that it would have been made 50 years ago. Real food, super clean ingredients, and but then with a mindful twist. And my comprehension of feeding the microbiome and what harms it and what supports it. And then I was diagnosed with celiac disease. And so I do have about 5 food allergies, 2 of them severe. And so I wanted to create an inclusive kitchen where everyone could enjoy the same special.
And that's so important because so many people are being diagnosed these days with a sensitivity or an allergy, and it is difficult to go out to eat. So how did your customers react to this new restaurant?
My customers, I'm actually busier than I've ever been in 5 years. I'm 5 years in, which is a miracle for any restaurant.
It is.
Everyone drives a minimum of 30 minutes each way to eat there. Most people drive an hour. My customers love it because what we want in the heartland of America, which is vast, you know, that's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's everywhere but the coast,
mm-hmm.
is we really want real food. We want to feel better. We want to support rural communities. We want someone to know us. You know, and mm-hmm. we want the food to be approachable and relatable. So we want to change our food. We don't quite know how. And most of us are not going to go off into a very groovy urban setting restaurant to try something. So what's happened is Pinewood is really changing the face of hospitality and the way that we create this inclusivity at the table and this mindfulness of ingredients and food allergies, and not just food allergies. I mean, there are so many people going through chemotherapy right now, and that wipes out the villi and the intestines, and they have a lot of digestive problems. Or someone who's diabetic and they want to eat keto. So we're just, we're really the new hospitality. We are catering to what our customers want and need. And then we're creating, so maybe they come for the fried chicken, which is, by the way, gluten-free and dairy-free and egg-free. But nobody knows. It's
no.
So delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're going to try one of my microbiome vegan soups, and they're going to eat my umeboshi ketchup, which is a digestive aid, and they're gonna just try vegan ranch. And maybe they always have a stomach ache when they go out to eat, but because I cook in rice bran oil and my fryer, they're not bloated because there's no fryer extender or anti-foaming agents in the oil. So it's really, you know, it's the new hospitality. It's what we should, I wish I could be in every rural community and city across the country because I would love to connect to everyone that wants to eat better.
Have you had other restaurateurs contacting you about changing how they do things in their restaurants?
Well, you know, interestingly, yes, recently, because my book tour is reaching my virtual book tour. I've been on television in 20 cities. Yeah, I think that's my goal, is just to inspire them that, you know, when you go to culinary school, and as I did, you're not taught in French and classic American training to be mindful. You're not taught about inclusivity. Most chefs and most kitchens are run that food allergies are annoying. And maybe they'll address the nut allergy because that person could die.
Yeah, sad but true.
And I giggle, I'm not giggling that they could die. Sadly, they address it because they don't realize a gluten sensitivity or allergy, the person is sick for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so it's just changing You know, it's changing the way that we view each other. It's creating empathy in a place where it should begin, which is the kitchen and the table.
Okay, great. So let's talk about this book. Now, the first quarter of it or so is basically talking about some of the things that we've already talked about. So if someone like I said, it was a lot of information, you can read at your leisure. Why did you think it was so important to add all that information at the beginning of your book?
Well, I think people need a why. Mm-hmm. And I think they need a mirror. I never like to separate myself out from who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. I am them. They are me.
Sure.
We need a mirror. You know, what I desperately needed 12 years ago is me. I wish I had met her, but I guess I was meant to become her.
Yeah.
I need a mirror. I need to see that someone did get up. I need to see that they stay up. Then I wanted people to know that in the middle of nowhere could become somewhere, that this doesn't have to happen in Los Angeles or New York City or Seattle. This can happen in Wisconsin. This can happen in Idaho. This can happen in Tennessee, in Mississippi, in Alabama. That I wanted people to understand the journey and the value of farming and the way that we farm. I wanted people to know that they're not alone. I mean, there are so many wants in the beginning, and so the beginning is the mirror. I wanted people to see themselves in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then part two was, you know, is the importance of understanding what we talked about, the microbiome, and the why you want to change your food. You know, it's one thing to say, you need to eat better to lose weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay,
that's
thanks.
Vanity, okay? You know, it's insulting and it's vanity.
Yeah,
it's eating better so that you can participate in your life. Because what I've done with my wellness is change my community.
Right. And like you had mentioned earlier, you got a recipe in here for chicken, fried chicken. So it's not like you said earlier when we were talking about, oh, health food is icky and I have to eat it. It's a punishment. You've got some really good recipes in here. Was that very, really, really important to you?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, on the cover, there's a cast iron skillet with biscuits and fried chicken and roasted okra. And,
yes.
And the publisher was like, are you sure you want to put that on the cover? I was like, yes. Because I want, when I'm looking for food, I don't want, diet means to suffer and give up, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about how do we recreate things. And it doesn't mean I eat that fried chicken and biscuit every day. At all. But it means that if I want to make it and I want to have it, then it's my luxury, then how do I make it better?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I have a family member that is celiac or is trying to figure out, this is huge for me. If someone doesn't feel well and they are trying to figure out how to feel better, and that means they decide they're going to go gluten-free, let's support them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's their first step on trying to feel better, and that's their first step in participating in their wellness. It doesn't mean, and maybe down the road they're going to find out they don't have an issue with gluten. Excellent. But they went down the journey, their own yellow brick road, of participating in their wellness. And for that, I wanted to have that recipe for a gluten-free biscuit in my book. I mean, if we become supportive of one another's individual journeys, then we're not just changing food. We're changing the world because we're saying, okay, you're gluten-free. I'm not. That's cool. You're Democratic. You're Republican. I'm not. That's cool. It all is connected to me. It's about becoming inclusive, thinking of each other's individual journeys, and finding a way to cheer them on and support them. This is how I'm changing the world, girl.
Well, even if you do that for one person, that's, you know, you've succeeded. So let's go to a caller. We've got Shelley in Madison, and she's got a question for you. Hi, Shelley.
Mm-hmm. Hi. So I've had Crohn's disease since I was 11 years old. I love to bake and cook and experiment. But I find a lot of the ingredients that I know are the best for me, they're expensive. How do you recommend experimenting? I'm afraid of them going to waste. How do you experiment with something when you have that fear?
Well, the issue is, I mean, this is a great question, and thank you for calling in and talking to me. I say, first of all, in changing your gut, the best thing to do is to eat as simple as possible. To eat, you know, simple, 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 simple. And for as far as baked goods go, you know, baked goods are a treat. And so I do buy or I create my own flour mixes in bulk, and then I put them in. So to say to buy Bob's Red Mill, I'm just giving that as an example. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it, gluten-free. It may be expensive for a large bag of it, but you can also take oatmeal and you can put it in a Vitamix or a high-blended blender, and you can create your own flours, and then you can create your own gluten-free flour blends to bake with and store them in an airtight container. And then, you know, things like cooking whole grains, millet is 99 cents a pound, and a pound of millet goes a long way. It's really about, again, go back to super simple. Where it gets expensive is buying any of the processed foods, meaning, or the prepackaged foods. But those foods don't really support our health anyways. So for me, when I go to the grocery store, people are always amazed that I buy one onion. And I divide that onion up. But I think it's because of my life as, you know, growing up, and really in food poverty, that I learned how to be frugal with things. So for me, I certain ingredients I will buy, like tamari, as you know, for gluten-free, but I can find it in grocery stores discounted or online discounted because so many people don't need to buy it. So it's really about just utilizing what you have. Instead of buying tons of fresh produce, you can buy frozen. There's nothing wrong with that. And then instead of buying fresh thing of broccoli and you may not use it, buy a bag of frozen broccoli and cook half of it and then save it. Those are really my tips. It's just about plotting out what I'm going to buy and what I'm going to do and how best I can create what I need in my kitchen. And then not creating an excess, because that excess of certain foods is how you create the imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that call, Shelley. Great question. And just so people know, I did talk with your publicist, and we will have a recipe of yours from your book up on our website. I haven't gotten it yet, but it'll probably be this afternoon or tomorrow. But it is your recipe for summertime Mexican zucchini soup. I figured this time of year we're starting to get too many zucchinis already, so this might be a good one. Why don't you talk a little bit about this one and what it's about?
Oh, this is a great recipe, and you can also do this recipe with yellow squash. Like right now I have an abundance of yellow squash. It's just coming in loads on the farm. So this is again, everything that I do can be altered, and I give examples of how you can alter it. So if you're not having potatoes, then there are other things you can do. But I just take, basically I put zucchini, keep the skin on. Zucchini is loaded with water, and we need to eat water. So a lot of people that suffer from chronic constipation, maybe they're drinking a ton of water, but we need to eat a lot of produce and fruits that are low in sugar and high in water content. So it's onion, it's zucchini, it's garlic. Onion and garlic are both natural antibiotics in the digestive tract. If people react to garlic or they react to onions, it's usually because they have a strong bacteria component, and the individual that's reacting, the microbiome clashes with it, but it is reversible. So by treating and changing your microbiome, you'll be able to have garlic and onions again. Zucchini, this recipe calls for red potatoes, or you could use white potatoes to thicken it. But if you can't have potatoes, you can add in extra zucchini. You can use lentils. You can use cauliflower with it, and that will add that creaminess. I add in this recipe cashews, which add in protein and this cheesiness. But if you have a nut allergy, you can use pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds are loaded with protein and all kinds of omega-3s and great, great good fat. Cumin, which is excellent for diabetics and preventing diabetes. I use chili powder, coriander, a dash of cayenne, but you can skip it. You could also put a jalapeno in there if you like it really hot. I make a lot of my soups with just water. If I don't have a vegetable broth or a chicken broth, water is fine, because the water is going to basically turn, you're basically going to create a broth with everything that's in it. And I always add mushrooms, because mushrooms and the science of mushrooms is my latest obsession. And the way that they're antiviral, loaded with vitamin D, and they influence their adaptogenic in the body. That means that they work in the body to support everyone individually where they need support. And then MesoPaste, which is a probiotic. So everything that I listed previous is a prebiotic, and the miso is the probiotic. And you're creating a microbiome soup. You're going to put everything minus the miso in the pot, cover it, let it simmer, and then let it sit and cool. Add it to your super blender or regular blender or food processor. But if you're using nuts, you need a strong blender. And then add your miso paste in, puree, and serve. And everyone loves this recipe, and anyone can make it because it's basically chopping it, putting it in a pot, covering it with water, and pureeing it. Boom. You've impressed everyone, and you're popular.
And that's what we all want, right?
Well, we all want friends.
We all want friends. This really, it looks so good. I definitely have to try this. And I like the fact that it's like a creamy soup. And so, I mean, with kids, sometimes they don't like soup with chunks of vegetables in. So they're more likely to try this, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to get everybody to eat it.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
A lot of my soups are pureed, too, because, you know, especially if you're having digestive distress. And you need to eat vegetables, but your microbiome is weak, so you cannot eat raw. A lot of people have a hard time with a lot of vegetables. And so by pureeing them, you can add in, you can feed the good gut homies, that positive probiotic bacteria, and not have the discomfort. And like a lot of people can't have nuts. I rotate my nuts in all my soups. I don't digest nuts still as well as I wish I could. So I will swap, and, you know, eating nuts are linked to preventing colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I will rotate and use everything in my soups, cashews, almonds, pecans, pistachios. And again, about the excess in food is a big deal. We raise our livestock by mob grazing, which means we rotate the pasture they're in 3 times a day. And the reason we do that is because each pasture has a different nutritional profile, meaning the grasses that they're eating are different. They have a different amount of sunlight, a different amount of water. That creates a different nutritional profile. When our livestock have issues, our goats with their hooves or our sheep, we rotate and we figure out not what they're – we don't look at what they're not getting. We look at what they're getting too much of.
Okay,
so if you're eating –
and me, I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time. This has been such a good conversation. And thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for this book. I think a lot of people will be helped by it. We've been talking about eating to promote a healthy gut with Mee McCormick. She's the author of My Pinewood Kitchen, a Southern culinary cure. In it, she has lots of recipes that can be adapted for food sensitivities and allergies. Hope you enjoy it. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking to the author of an interesting new book on butterflies. Hope you can join us on the Ideas Network starting at 11:45. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us. And stay well.